get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday.
And what a sexy Thursday it is here in New York City. I know that we're nationally syndicated, we're all over the world.
Right.
But here in New York, it is a beautiful day outside.
Well, it is snowing out right now.
Blizzard-like temperatures. Conditions, that's what they said.
Well, I wouldn't say that yet.
Later.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, give God a minute.
But they already canceled lots of flights.
Over 2,000.
Lots of flights canceled. New York's and New Jersey schools, most of them are canceled.
And Boston and Philly.
And Boston and Philly.
You know what's so crazy? As a father, right? Like, my daughter's 8, so like when, you know, she finds out it's a snow day, she gets mad excited.
And then
I get excited too, but I'm like, nah, I gotta go to work. I can't sleep in tomorrow.
No,
I gotta get my ass up and get on that road.
Well, you know, for my younger ones, my 3-year-old and 2-year-old, they tell them at school that they have to wear their pajamas backwards and put a spoon under their pillow, and if they do that, it'll be a snow day. So my kids were super duper excited.
I've never heard anything like that.
I ain't gonna front. That sounds very kind of perverted. Let me talk to my kids about putting their pajamas on backwards and spooning.
Well, let me tell you. So, you know, my 3-year-old and 2-year wear onesies.
They go to school, so
they couldn't wear it backwards, so they were mad. So I had to cut the onesies so they could sleep with their pajamas backwards because they couldn't, you know, because the feet were backwards.
But they go to school already?
Hmm?
They go to school already?
Yeah. 3-year-old and 2-year-old go to school, yeah.
All you got is onesies?
Most of them onesies,
yeah. No regular pajamas?
They like onesies.
Jesus Christ. Just put their pampers on backwards.
Envy wears onesies as well.
I do sometimes.
That's hot.
I do sometimes. And I got a little thing on the back, so if you got to go to the bathroom, a little cutout in the back.
That's nice.
Oh, so like Prince used to do back in the day, have his ass out. Sometimes you do that around the house, just let the flap fly.
No.
Let the little beige ass hang for the people to see.
No, but if I got to go to the bathroom, it's just like snap, snap, plong.
Got you. Okay. Dropping the clues bombs for Envy's bowel movement habits. We needed to know that this morning.
That's great
information for the listeners.
But just let me give a shout out to Rick Ross yesterday. I actually hosted a dinner. Lip Service hosted a dinner. Rick Ross did a ladies' appreciation dinner.
Okay.
Before Valentine's Day. So shout out to all the women who came out last night.
Who was there?
For a beautiful dinner. It was me and Gigi. It was Lip Service hosting, so it was me and Gigi. My girl Valerie Laura, Somia was there. It was about 40 women in the room. A lot of women in media, writers, radio personalities.
So a lot of single women there.
No, it's before Valentine's Day. People are married. I mean, it's just women that are working the business to appreciate everything that women do.
Oh, you know they got something called Galentine's Day for all the single women, for single women to appreciate themselves on Valentine's Day?
Really?
I'm dead serious.
Why do you know so much about
this? Because it was on TV. It was actually on the news.
Really?
I think it's called Galentine's Day.
Galentine.
Yeah, so on Tuesday, it's for all the single women to love and appreciate
Tuesday
themselves.
Tuesday is Valentine's Day.
Right.
I know that, but it's also Galentine's Day for the single ladies. Google it, damn it. Don't make this kind of stuff up. Don't worry. We're going to have a full tutorial on it on Tuesday.
I'm sure.
To all the single ladies out there.
I bought my
Valentine's Day sweater today. I did a little capsule line. Angela Yee's Valentine's Day capsule collection.
Love the hustle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a few different things, but this one is one of them.
All right. And Big Sean will be joining us this morning.
I've heard of him. I'm going to tell y'all something, man. And I know this may sound a little crazy.
Boy.
If you haven't heard Big Sean's new I Decided album. Big Sean might be the best rapper out right now.
Mm. Okay.
Like, he might be the best rapper.
Off
the new generation. When I think of the new generation, like the leaders of the new generation, I think of like Kendrick, I think of Drake, I think of J. Cole, mm-hmm. I think of Wale, I think of Big Crit, and then I think of Sean. I think Sean might be at the top of that class at the moment.
So you put Big Sean above J. Cole and above Kendrick.
Yes, and I'm talking about, this is basing this straight off lyrics and flow and delivery, not nothing else, not no sales, not no popularity, just straight. The craft of rapping, Sean is a monster, bro.
I'm 5 songs in, I got to listen to the whole album. But let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what we're talking about.
Well, we are going to give you an update on the snowstorm and how it's going to affect you, depending on where you are. Also, Donald Trump, you know we got to talk more about him. And I was watching the news this morning, and he made a statement that I just thought was hilarious.
And shout out to Charles Oakley, all my New York Knicks
Charles
fans.
Charles Oakley's in the news, too.
Shout out to Charles Oakley.
Drop one of Clues Bomb for Charles
yeah,
Oakley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Swung on six white people and didn't get killed.
Didn't get killed.
That man is amazing.
Yeah, he might need to, look, the Knicks need to sign him because he's the toughest one out there.
He got
right
passion.
Now.
Only person in that whole garden last night with passion was Charles Oakley.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about it. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Start off with sports. Now, last night, as I was watching the New York Knicks play, they actually did pretty good at first, but they wound up losing. There was, a little argument, controversy that happened in the first quarter. I seen Charles Oakley getting escorted out, and then I kept seeing the replay. Well, allegedly what happened was Charles Oakley doesn't really mess with the New York Knicks, so he purchased his own tickets. He said some bad things about the organization, and I guess they really don't get along, but he believes once a Knick, always a Knick. He played for the New York Knicks
for
10 years.
And probably
from 88 to 98.
One of the best Knick teams ever.
Mm-hmm. And he paid for his tickets, and I guess when the owner allegedly seen him, they asked him to leave, and he wouldn't leave. So they tried to put their hands on him. It was about five, six individuals, maybe five security guards and one police officer. And Oakley wasn't having it.
Who's the white man he poked in the forehead?
I don't know who that was.
Drop on a Clues Bomb for that beautiful poke to the forehead. First of all, I don't like to see any veterans of any kind disrespected. That goes for military veterans here in America. I hate seeing them homeless on the street after they served this country. And I think it's super disrespectful to have a veteran like Charles Oakley make him pay for a ticket after giving the Knicks 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears. The last time the Knicks had a good squad was probably during that Oakley era.
Well, the Knicks PR tweeted out, Charles Oakley came to the game tonight and behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He has been ejected and is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. He was a great Knick, and we hope he gets some help soon.
Trash. That is trash.
If I was
a player, I would never want to play for an organization like that. All the free agents that could be out there, people that could possibly be traded to the Knicks, I would not want to come to play for an organization that treats its veterans in that manner.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Charles Oakley, I don't even know how old he is. Wait, maybe 50? He has more heart than most of those Knicks that were out there playing. I mean, you might need to sign him because he could box you out. He could throw people around. He didn't care.
When you get to that age, you got that old man strength now.
They said he's going to be charged with three counts of assault.
They're going to wind up dropping that, I bet you.
Run up on one of these old men if you want to. They may be slow, but boy, when that 60-year-old right hand connect with you, boy, you're going to feel it in your soul.
I seen it. And I seen Oakley about a week ago when I was heading to Houston. He was also heading out there. Man, I'm watching the video right now on Revolt. He's like, I paid for this seat.
The Knicks treat its veterans worse than America treats its veterans. That was disgusting.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, Charles Oakley should never be treated in that manner.
Now, random story about Charles Oakley. I did meet him a couple of times. I actually was at one point supposed to do a cooking show with Charles Oakley.
Yeah, he does.
Apparently,
he does a lot of cooking.
A great cook.
A great cook. He owns a couple of car washes in the city.
That was a long time ago. But shout out to Charles Oakley. He was super cool.
Yeah, shout out to Charles
Oakley. Disrespected by the organization he used to play for 10 years. Everybody deserved fingers in the face. Phil Jackson, James Dolan. Everybody. Anybody involved with that Knicks organization deserves a finger in the face.
I'll tell you one more story about Charles Oakley. I know we got to go. Ed Lover was doing comedy one time and made a joke about Charles Oakley. And then he said before the joke was finished, a chicken wing hit him in the forehead. And he said he looked up and Oakley was standing there. So Oakley, you don't mess with Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley's one of those guys.
Now and then, by the way, I was kind of upset that none of the players came to his defense. Like, some of the players should have been like, yo, you don't treat the veteran NBA players like this, especially somebody that played for the organization for 10 years.
And LeBron James posted a picture of Charles Oakley after this all happened, and he put mood hashtag legend.
Yeah, he defends LeBron James all the time. Now, let's talk about the snowstorm.
All right, so be careful if you plan to travel anywhere today, because in the Northeast, airlines have already canceled more than 2,700 flights even before the storm started. New York, Boston, Philadelphia have all closed their public schools for the day so far. They said more than 60 million people are going to have to deal with this weather. So according to the Connecticut governor, also, they said state colleges and courts would be closed today. We're expecting anywhere between 7 to about 16 inches of snow.
Jesus Christ, it's supposed to stop at 1 o'clock.
Stop at 1 o'clock. It's supposed to be very heavy between 6 and 8 a.m. Eastern time. Now,
well,
tell us about.
I'll be here.
Tell us about Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, he's still battling the fact that they have decided to put a hold, temporarily suspend the travel ban that he really wants. He feels like he should be able to go ahead and do that, right? He says he has that authority, and he has a problem with the courts. Here's what he had to say.
And I don't ever want to call a court biased, so I won't call it biased. But courts seem to be so political, and it would be so great for our justice system if they would be able to read a statement and do what's right. And that has to do with the security of our country, which is so important.
Hey, this is Charlemagne the God talking. I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary. I'm kind of dumb on all levels, but isn't a court supposed to be political?
I thought that was the point of it.
Like, how can a court not be political?
These courts are so
political. Courts aren't supposed to be political? Were they supposed to be biased? What are you saying, white man Steve? Huh? Shut up, Steve.
Okay,
all right. Well, that's, See what I'm saying?
I don't know.
White people got to do better in 2017. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's front page
Lord
news.
Have mercy.
Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051.
Can't even have a conversation
with them anymore. Like, if you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Phone lines are wide open. We're going to let you speak. If you're mad that maybe schools are closed and you're a parent, now you have to stay home with your child.
These schools are so educational.
Whatever it is. If you're upset,
I don't like educational schools. I don't think schools should be educational.
585-1051.
I don't think churches should be religious either, by the way.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yo, this is DMX, and you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth, all right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
Detroit, the truck driver. What's up, though?
Detroit, the truck driver. What up, though? Tell them why you mad.
What's going on? Man, I'm mad. This is my second time, man. You know, I wake up this morning to get skin. I put my girl back, and she pushed me off. So you know what I do? I get my ass up, get back in the truck, and hit the road again. And Charlamagne off in the bathroom did not work. It didn't work, man.
You should have put it right on the butt.
Do you ever hear a foreplay, sir?
Yes. Listen.
Just go ahead and put your penis on someone's back is not good enough.
I'm just shoving it in the mouth next time.
That's called rape, sir.
That might be rape.
You still got to get consent from your wife or girl or whatever she is.
If she's asleep, hey, it's my on my consent. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
That's rape. Don't be that guy.
I don't know if we can speak with you anymore.
Don't be that guy. Hey, Big Sean going to be on next hour, too, by the way, Detroit.
That's right. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Rick from VA.
Hey, Rick, tell him why you mad.
Yo, man, so I'm tired of this whole mumble rap versus lyrical rap debate. It's getting played out, in my opinion.
Who cares, bro? Like, I'm from the South, so they always fronted on the South. So who cares?
The way I look at it is, like, damn, like, I saw a documentary on Noisy saying that
Little Yachty
doesn't drink or he doesn't smoke.
No, he doesn't.
That's good for the kids. Whereas where I grew up in the 90s, I was listening to this lyrical rap. Like, I wanted to be a gangster because that's what I was listening to. These kids just want to have fun. In my opinion, I mean, that's better for the community.
I mean, listen, I think you got a lot of variety. I understand what you're saying, but you got a lot of variety now. For every Little Yachty, it's a Big Sean. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a variety for everybody.
I agree. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? This is Mark. I'm in Rockland County.
Hey, Mark, tell them why you mad.
I'm mad because I'm stuck out here in this snow delivering newspapers.
Man, is it that bad out there in the roads?
It's bad. It takes me 10 minutes to get up a little hill, and I got to do it or else I lose my job.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Hey, what's up?
You should have paid attention in school, sir. You should.
Maybe he did. Did you pay attention in school?
No, that's why
I paid attention in school. This is a second job. It's a part-time job.
Oh, there you go. What's your main career, sir?
Well, I'm a manager at Stop and Shop.
There you go, my brother. No, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Salute to that man. That man work at Stop and Shop. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. Hello, who's this?
Yo, Breakfast Club.
Yo.
What's happening?
Who's this?
Yo, I love you guys. I just want to say that, and it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, I'm not mad. I just want to tell y'all that. I just had my first night as a dancer, and I just want to tell y'all about my night.
Tell us what happened.
Wait, hold up. We'll do this because up next is why you're blessed. And right now you sound blessed, all right? So you hold on.
Hold on 1 second. Do not hang up, baby.
Wait, my dancer name is Holiday.
All right, hold on, Holiday. Ooh. Don't go anywhere. Ooh. Up next is tell them why you're blessed. 800-585-1051. We have a young lady on the phone that feels blessed. Yesterday was her first day.
Her first day as a stripper.
And we're going to find out all about it when we come back. Keep it locked. 800-585-1051. Blessings on blessings on blessings.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
Okay. Are you blessed and highly favored?
I feel blessed.
Tell the congregation at 800-585-1051.
This is a celebration.
shit. It's the Breakfast Club.
Now we have Holiday on the line. That is her stripper name. Last night was her first night in the strip club. She feels blessed.
Talk to me, Holiday.
Tell us about it, Holiday.
All right. So I think I made bank for my first night. I didn't really know what to expect, but I'm in Miami, by the way. Just
okay.
All right. What club you at, first of all?
I was at, well, I don't want to give my location out because, you know.
Okay, you don't have to do that.
Why not? You did.
She just started.
All right.
What's your dancer name?
Holiday, she said.
Holiday.
Okay.
How much did you make last night?
I made $600.
Oh,
is that good?
Holiday style. Good.
You blessed. Now tell us about it.
Holiday.
Well, it was really fun. I mean, like, I was in a black club because I'm black, of course. But anyway, I was in Miami, you know, I was popping it, shaking it. And I really liked the lifestyle because, you know, I got what I wanted for the rest of the night and I just left.
How old are you?
Well, my birthday's at the end of the month. I'll be 24.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know last night was beginner's luck, and it's all downhill from here.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's not going to be a lot of $600 nights, more like $150, $200 nights. But you're
looking
good.
I'm in Miami.
Well, now, that's good. And that's good for a Wednesday night, too.
Yeah, that's good for Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, it is Wednesday, y'all. I'm popping.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Are you good at doing, like, tricks and stuff like that, or do you just walk around? Like, can you do pole tricks?
No, I don't do pole tricks. I walked around, but I met this guy in the club who said he could hook me up with, like, some pole dancing classes.
That's how it starts.
I was like, who needs
those? So how do you practice?
But, you know,
how do you practice at home?
I guess that's cute. How do I practice? What do you mean all girls twerk in the mirror? Like, it was kind of like that, and then, like, you just take your clothes off.
Yeah, I think you need to learn some pole tricks, too, though. That way you can always up the ante. Whatever you do, you got to do. Be great at it.
Would you like to share your Instagram with a married man?
With a pervert. With a pervert.
There you go. You're right. Okay, you said it. I didn't. Would you like to share your Instagram?
Yo, I can't believe I'm on the Breakfast Club. I listen to you guys all the time.
So what a great night last night. Great morning.
Now, question. Now, what got you into stripping? Was your dad in your life? Or was it financial hardship? Like, what got you into stripping?
Yeah, my dad's definitely in my life, and he's alive.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I talk to him all the time. And
where did he go wrong?
I like dancing, and it's just financial hardship. Like, I'm just going through a lot, and I need fast money because, like, I have goals on my list that I'm trying to knock off right now, and it costs money.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless you.
It's a legal job.
Can you pay for it?
You said what?
Huh? Can you pay for it, MV?
Like, I got 5 kids, and I'm making sure my daughters ain't going to be on that
And you're married.
No, she wants me to pay for it like a stripper. No, I got 5 kids. I'm married. Now I got my own kids. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, if somebody came up to you and offered you $1,000 maybe for some fellatio, would you have done it last night?
No, because I hook up with people that I actually, like, care about because that's, like sentimental. Like,
not for money.
It was just, yeah, I was just dancing, you know? Like, I just had a good time, like, and I was drinking, like.
Yeah, okay. Envy, don't be so judgmental. You're
asking.
Always in the strip club.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm bored at this phone call already, so that means.
She's just having a good time. She's dancing. She's not trying to have a relationship with one of these guys in the club.
I'm sure that's how you are in the strip club, too. I see you at first, throw a couple of dollars. I'm like, I'm bored. Where's the next woman at? Can we go
this
to the next?
This is telling why you're blessed, Charlamagne.
Huh?
Yeah, that's harsh. It's okay, Charlamagne. You'll see me later on because I'm doing big things, Breakfast Club.
That's right. Holiday, you continue to be blessed, okay?
Thank you. Y'all be blessed on this Thursday Breakfast Club. I love y'all.
And Holiday, be careful, please. I don't take drinks from men unless you see the drink actually come from the bartender. Be extra careful out there because men are creeps and perverts. So please.
Oh, man, you hear this old careful. Trying to cuff a stripper.
No, Envy's right. Envy's right. Envy's right. Thank you. Envy's right. There are women. There are a lot of creeps. Oh, my bad. There are a lot of creeps out there. Like, seriously.
Envy's
right. Don't take the drink from a stranger.
That's right.
I'm drunk.
You know what? I forget she's 24. Never mind. You're right. Tell her all the basics.
Just be careful out there, all right?
Look both ways before you cross the street as well, okay?
You too.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Don't let nobody talk ish to you.
All right. Shout out to Holiday. She's blessed. Last night was her first night at the strip club. Woo. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes. Find out what R&B singer is screaming out racism. I'll tell you what happened and why he's saying things are racist. And Robin Thicke in court. What happened when he went for his child custody case?
You know, that's one of my goals, to make sure none of my daughters on the strip pole.
In reality TV, Mona Scott Young shows.
Absolutely.
You want to keep them off the stripper pole and off all Mona Scott Young shows.
All right. Rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Now, it looks crazy outside.
It's coming down?
It's coming down in New York. I'm sure New Jersey, Connecticut. I'm sure Boston. It look crazy outside.
Philly.
I don't know how we're going to get home.
It stops at 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm not staying here until 1.
We ain't got no choice.
Jesus.
It look crazy outside.
Somebody get some snacks.
Yeah, get some snacks.
Is Uber going to work?
Definitely not.
For real?
Well, I'm sure Uber will work, but you might get an inexperienced driver in that weather.
Try Lyft.
You know what's going to happen? Our car's going to get stuck in the parking lot.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
That's definitely going to happen. It looks crazy out there.
Can we do rumors?
All right, let's get to the room. Let's talk. Amigos!
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, the Migos did an interview in Rolling Stone magazine, a big feature, and what came out of it was they ended up having to apologize for something that was said. Now, part of the article says the track has put Migos at the forefront of a new wave of Atlanta hip-hop talent that includes friends Lil Yachty and Young Thug. All are wildly different MCs, illustrating the diversity that Quavo says is one of the things he most loves about Atlanta. And so I'm surprised by Migos' reaction when I mention I love Mekonnen, the local MC who just came out as gay on Twitter. Damn, Mekonnen, Quavo bellows after an awkward interlude. I mentioned support I saw online for Mekonnen's decision. They supported him, Quavo asked, raising an eyebrow. That's because the world is effed up, says Offset. This world is not right, Takeoff says. We ain't saying there's nothing wrong with the gays, says Quavo. But he suggests that Mekonnen's sexuality undermines his credibility, given the fact that he first came out talking about trapping and selling Molly, doing all that. Well, since then, Twitter went crazy with just that part of the article, and they have issued an apology on Twitter. They said, we've always been about being original and staying true. Staying true to yourself goes a long way. We are all fans of Mekonnen's music, and we wish he didn't feel he ever had to hide. We feel the world is effed up, that people feel like they have to hide, and we're asked to comment on someone's sexuality. We have no problem with anyone's sexual preference. We love all people, gay or straight, and we apologize if we offended anyone.
By the way, it's gay people in the trap. Okay, like, it's gay people out Absolutely. There selling drugs. It's gay people out there packing guns. Like, it's gay hood dudes out there. Don't get it twisted, Migos.
Right.
You probably never ran into any. You probably have. You didn't know
yeah,
they were.
Just
didn't know yet.
Yeah, sure you didn't know. But they can't mess up that bad and bougie money. Things are going good for them right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They don't need no problems. They probably got endorsement deals on the table, all kind of stuff.
Right. Absolutely.
But if the Migos feel that way, they can feel that way. They don't have to apologize.
Right. It's whatever they feel.
Our president don't apologize for nothing.
He don't.
Okay.
He keep going.
Right. Neither does his administration.
Mm-mm. All right. Jason Derulo is talking about racial profiling. He says that he was stopped on a flight on American Airlines. He said he's an elite customer, and therefore there shouldn't have been an issue. He was trying to actually check his bags. He says he was disrespected. He said he was cursed out. And all of that, he was going to go to L.A. He was in Miami going to L.A., and they tried to check their bags, and here's what Jason Derulo says happened.
They end up turning the plane around. When I get on the ground here, there's 15 police officers waiting on us. As we're getting off the plane, the pilot comes and tries to make a scene, and he says, I want these guys off the plane right now. I get off the plane, it's 15 police officers waiting on me like I'm a criminal. So instantly, I get on live stream. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's about to happen that is not supposed to happen because I am who I am. But if I wasn't, I know what the outcome would have been.
I'm still trying to figure out the...
He said if he was a random black guy, he'd be in jail right now.
So what happened? Yeah, I'm just confused what happened.
So now, update on TMZ says that a source at American Airlines says that each customer, if you're an elite customer, you get 3 free check bags. But Jason Derulo had one friend that tried to check 19 bags, even though there was 8 of them. One person tried to check
19?
Yeah, 19 bags. So what they're saying they think happened is that they got on a flight and they left one person behind with all the luggage for a later flight, and American Airlines would not credit the 19 bags for just one person. Everybody had to check them in.
Why they just ain't split the bags up?
I guess that one person was staying behind to try to handle all that.
But I'm still trying to figure out why, when you get off the plane and you see 15 police officers, the first thing you think to do is go to Facebook Live.
I guess it's a videotape to make sure nothing happens so he can show people.
So if something does happen, he'll be like recording it and...
Yeah, at the airport.
What do you think? He should have went Instagram Live?
No, I'm sure. Should have went on Snapchat.
Snapchat.
At the airport, it's video. I'm sure it's video cameras everywhere.
But he wanted to have his own, probably, for his fans to see.
I just don't live my life like that, where when something bad happens, the first thing you think is, oh, let me go to Instagram Live, or let me go to Snapchat, let me go to
Facebook Live to see. People do that to record it, because think about it. That's happened in other situations with police brutality.
Right.
I can understand if you're in a car, you know, it's just you in the office. So, but you're at an airport. It's mad people there.
Just have your own
footage. He would have his own account. Look what's happening to me right now.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
That was Riri with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He looks very Detroit this morning, too, by the way.
Very Detroit.
What's Detroit about corduroy?
I am very Detroit.
That's a Detroit thing, the corduroy outfit.
Is it?
Yeah, well, with the Detroit
hat. I thought everybody wore corduroys.
No.
That's a D-Town. That's
everybody
a Detroit thing.
Everybody does wear corduroy.
Yeah, I don't know what they...
I see. Historically, growing up, I used to see dudes in Detroit with the whole corduroy outfit.
Straight up. Yeah, it is a whole outfit.
Yeah.
It is pants jacket match.
Well, congratulations on the new album, I Decided.
Thank you. Thank you.
I see it's going to do like over 100,000 and be number one for the week. So that's a big deal.
Perfect.
Streaming is really incredible, right, for artists now.
Yeah. And this is the first album I put out where I didn't release physical copies with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So physical's always been a big part of my first week. So I didn't do that because I didn't want it leaking. You know what I mean? And I wanted to work on it to like as soon as possible. When you got to do physical albums, you got to turn it in way before it go to the plants, and I ain't want to like risk that.
So how long do you have to put it out before, when you're just streaming it, you have until right before you put it out?
Not like right before, but like
month.
No, see, if you do physicals, it's like a month, like a week or two.
Hey,
that's pretty good.
A couple weeks.
But so why did you title it I Decided?
For a lot of reasons, but hold up, but just on that point though, like that song Sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. It was my favorite song on the album. Now it's like top three.
Yeah. That came in at like the last minute, like last week.
So that's good.
It would have been hard copies, it wouldn't have made it.
Yeah,
or
period.
Or it could have been like a bonus online on streaming only song. Yeah.
About that record, what made you want to put the Migos on Sacrifice? Because most artists will put Migos on a club record. You actually put them on a record that got some substance.
Chair missing a whole arm.
Yeah, buy us a new chair.
Kevin Hart was supposed to buy us all chairs.
I know y'all getting money up in here. Y'all got broke ass chairs.
No, you got to keep it. That keeps the essence pure.
Nah, but Migos, I got love for the Migos. Anybody who keeping it raw, not really giving a fuck about what people saying, just doing their thing, I got respect for. And I remember when I met them, they came to me and was just saying, I remember Quavo talking about, yo, you one of the ones we look up to. You like, one of our OGs. And I'm sitting here thinking like, I'm probably like 2 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I got to remember that when I came in the game, that was like, man, I was 19. I was with, I was in Japan with Nigo, Pharrell, obviously Ye. You know what I mean? So it was a whole different era, like a generation before them, I guess.
But Sacrifice is a lot of substance in that record. Like, you talking about some real socially conscious stuff to me, like just on a personal level.
Thank
I'm
you.
Like the Migos.
Yeah. I think it's good to bring the Migos to do something that they don't normally do, which is like bring them into what Big Sean would do instead of catering to what they do.
And I feel like they brought something to the record, too.
Absolutely.
They added to it. That was the whole thing. I didn't have a lot of features on this album. Only features I had was... the ones that really added something. The Dream.
Jeremiah. On the
Light.
What record is The Dream on?
2088. Sunday Morning Jeff.
Oh, man. Now, see, that record became one of my favorite records this morning.
Yes.
That and Stick to the Plan.
Yeah. I like the way the album starts with the intro with Jeremiah. I thought that was a nice, and it had a lot of substance also, but I thought it was a great intro for the whole album, just to start off with that.
Yeah, he killed it, too. You know what I'm saying? And... that the whole album, like I broke the album up in my head at least to like four different acts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the first act is like the light, bounce back, no favors. It's like once you realize you find that inner strength. Like the first lines on the album is, I spent my whole life trying to find a light that's at the end of the tunnel. I should have realized it was inside.
Outside, inside, outside.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like once you figure that out and then you bounce back, you know what I'm saying, from your losses. And then after that, you charged up. It's like you don't need no favors. That's
part
like
two was like the love part.
Part two is like the love part going after. You know what I mean? Your one true love, not working out, all sorts of just,
And part three is like your mom, so to speak? Or
part three is like halfway off the balcony.
Okay.
Voices in my head, Stick to the Plan. That's like when everything going wrong and spiral out of control. You like in a, you in a pit, you in the depths, you know what I'm saying? And then part four is like Sunday Morning Jackpot when God pull you out of that, your family there for you.
Part three was like after everybody. Love.
Yeah, part three, that's like Sticks to the Plan, Voices in My Head. It's like you're going through that moment.
Now, Voices in My Head, you say that maybe a gunshot to the head will set all these thoughts free. You had suicidal thoughts at one point?
Yeah, I have.
What? You're like one of the happiest people I know, Sean, one of the nicest people.
Yeah, but I don't mean you ain't got, I go through real shit all the time, man.
The
house got broken
into.
I'm not saying I was going
to
do it. I'm saying, I thought about it.
But what got you to that point?
just the things that exactly what I talked about on the album. Like, God got me through that point. My family got me through that point. That unconditional love is something that, you know, that's more important than anything. That's something money can't buy. So I get that unconditional love from my family, from the real ones around me that came up with me. And that's just, that's what that is, you know.
It's like last album you paid homage to your father. This album you paid homage to your mom with a phone call. How did she react to Inspire Me?
I remember, well, she came to the crib. So I record basically all my music at this house. I just sold the house, though. Like, I just moved out because I feel like I got all the inspiration out of it. But she was there listening to the album, and I didn't tell her about the song.
And house is in Detroit?
No, this house is in L.A.,
LA.
Where I make the music. The house in Michigan is where she live, where I live. I got my room in the basement, you know what I'm saying? She got the big suite or whatever. But anyway,
it's like what Bow Wow did with his mom.
Yeah,
everybody's like, he lives with his mom.
Yeah, but that's the way though. You know, that's how I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just was playing her songs after song after song, and then Inspire Me came on. She was listening to it, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, she was like, oh, it's about, oh, you know. And then she, and then like that was halfway through the verse, and then by the end of the verse, she was crying. You know, so it was emotional for us, but. It's real, though. You know, I don't always answer my mama phone calls all the time.
Why not?
Yeah, he does that.
I don't either.
Nah, because that's just real life, man. It's not out of, like, I don't love her. That's my mom. That's the first person I rap for. That's the person who supported me like none other. It's just that we get self-absorbed in our, you know, we get caught up in our own business sometimes.
You really was doing nothing when you ignored our call, though, Sean.
No.
Hell no. No,
when you see a missed call, sometimes you forget to call your family back. That's just real life, man. You know, don't come at me like, I take care of my family, you know what I mean? But the thing is, I just wanted to keep it honest with her, and she appreciated that, and I remember, I even talk about it on the song, but we grew up, you know, I'm a Motown. Like, I was in a Motown household, like Stevie Wonder, Isley Brothers, you know what I mean? Marvin Gaye.
Al Green.
Al, you know what I mean? All that, Jackson 5. So I was asking her when she heard it, like, who you want to sing on it? Like, you want, because I was thinking, like, Smokey Robinson, you know, or I was going to shoot for the stars, try and get Stevie Wonder on it. But, you know, she just, I remember her looking at me with tears in her eyes, like, you got to sing it. Like, perfect if you sing it, so. That's why I'm on there singing like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was Big Sean. We got more with him in minutes. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Party Next Door. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got Big Sean in the building. Charlamagne?
You said every time you get a new love, your mama invites them in. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got
that's all, real.
She never doesn't like someone, and it's like, don't bring her around.
Y'all mamas like that?
No, I only been with one woman ever. I can't bring no other woman to my mama's house.
Straight up?
Hell yeah, me and my woman been together since 98.
But God, women invited you to their houses and meet their mamas before.
No.
Your scumbag ass?
Mm-mm. That's disrespectful. I don't do things like that.
No, he did read a kid a book one time.
Why wouldn't you read a kid a book?
And the kid called him dad.
The kid did call him dad.
But listen, mama don't never tell you.
That's respect, though.
She did. He did call me dad. That was disrespectful. That's why I stopped messing with her. But mama don't ever tell you to slow down? Because you do always got a new love now, Sean. You can't be bringing different women in outside mama's house.
Come on. It ain't like that. There's people out here changing shit up every week. At least I'm committed. At least I be, you know, I ain't out here on got time.
You
for
got
that.
About a 2-year lease on your
a 2-year lease.
You switch up every couple.
10,000 miles.
As you've been in the game.
Whatever, man.
And listening to Act 2, I guess, in this album where you do talk about, you know, saving somebody kind of from a relationship and just being friends at first and then kind of wanting to be with them, but she was involved with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a true story?
I mean, it's all based off true stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing not true about it. Not necessarily every line. Sometimes I fabricate things in my head I pull the inspiration from real situations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they are 100% real. But I'm also an artist, too. I got an imagination. Sometimes I, like, add stuff in my head. And
it's interesting because when you did do that No More Interview song, I was like, well, we can't interview Big Sean because the stuff that he talks about is stuff that happens to him in real life. So when you say you don't want to talk about personal things, the music is personal, so it's hard not to.
Well, no, that's the sacrifice I made. I put my personal life, you know, on a record. And that's just the commitment I made to my artistry because that's what I always wanted. I always wanted to be a rapper. I always wanted to be an artist. And I always knew my potential. You know what I mean? And I always felt like I wasn't executing my full potential. And it's just like that kept me hungry. That kept me always wanting to strive to be better. And part of that is just laying it all out there. You know, you can't go halfway with anything.
Yeah, on the album you say, girls that look like Lisa Bonet jealous of you and Janae.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know that's going to piss off the black women.
What you mean?
Girls that look like Lisa Bonet jealous of you and Janae.
Well, black, isn't Lisa Bonet black?
Yes, that's my point.
He's saying, why
the black women are going to judge you because
Charlamagne doesn't think that Janae is black.
She is.
That's what I keep telling him. She's black. I keep telling him that. I'm like, have you seen her dad?
I thought she was Asian.
She's light skinned. Yeah, she is.
She's mixed.
Oh, okay.
She got a little bit of everything.
But what did that line mean? Girls that look like Lisa Bonet jealous of you and Janae.
That means I was dating pretty girls. And even when I was coming up, they would always say something like, because Janae been on my project since 2011 or 12 or something like that.
And that's when you knew you wanted to. That's when you knew you wanted to be with
her. Why you with that little Asian girl all the time?
No, not. You gonna stop disrespecting her, man?
I ain't disrespecting her. So disrespectful to call her Asian?
No, I'm just saying she got a name, man. Come
Janae,
on.
Janae. Yeah. Yes.
So my thing is, look. Yes. People used to always be like, "What's up with you and Janae?" You know.
Okay, then. See what I'm saying? All of that to get to the.
Not what's up with you and that Asian girl.
But that is when you knew back then that you kind of had feelings for her, but she was involved with somebody else.
I'm here to talk about the album.
It's on
it
album.
Is the album. That was a ball from your album. See what I'm saying?
I answered the question. Y'all keep digging in on it. But no, yeah, it's always been feelings for her. Okay. Just to keep her honest. She's a great person.
Are you nervous? This is just a side question. Are you nervous if you see her husband that he might want 5 minutes with you?
She's not married anymore.
Or her ex-husband that he might want 5 minutes with you?
No.
No?
No, no way. I'm afraid of no confrontation.
I'm assuming same time part two is going to be on Janae's upcoming album.
Or the 2088 album, maybe.
Yeah. 2088 album. I don't know. You got to wait and see. But there is 2088 album coming.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the album?
Because you got the same time part one, right? Same time part one.
Yeah. Just a little. That was just a little, you know, a little foreshadow.
So, yeah. So it's going to be on one of those.
That's one
projects.
Of my favorites, though. Mm-hmm. Still.
I like that.
Yeah. My one of my producers, Amir, did that. He did The Light. He did Sunday Morning Jetpack, Halfway Off the Balcony. Produced on Bounce Back, Moves. Yeah, he did the outro Bigger Than Me. He produced on 13 out of 14 tracks. So, and he produced a lot of the 2088 stuff, too. So he's straight out of Philly. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Philly, you know, East Coast.
People are starting to see that you can spit now. And I'm liking it. People are starting to talk about your lyricism now.
What they saying?
They say you're not.
What was they talking about before?
They just weren't talking about it at all. they name people.
Wow,
they never
Sean.
Named. I'm being
Damn,
honest.
Man.
They never named Big Sean.
Sean, I've never done that to you, Sean.
No, it's the truth.
Hey.
Sean, how many times have you heard me
now
say
you
Sean?
Just started.
That's not true. Sean, is
like,
that true?
No.
Second album, when everybody was talking, he'd be like, man, I love that switch up song.
Yes.
I thought that this, you know.
Sean can rap his ass off.
Way back.
I just think now we need to start having a different conversation. Is Sean the best? Not, you know what I'm saying? It's a difference.
You mean is he in that top five?
I know. I've been in the top five to me of the new guys, but I'm saying is he one of the best at the moment? The best. Because you don't claim that.
I claim
it. It
seemed like you got a very underdog energy. Like it don't. It's not like
you
how you know how
that.
Wayne
hold
be
hold
like
hold
I'm
hold
the best
hold
rapper.
Hold
alive.
Let's not get it twisted. Let's not get it twisted.
Talk it.
Let's not get it twisted. Every time I step into that booth, I feel like I'm the best rapper. I feel like I'm the best at what I do. Mm. It's 2017. It's the time for all of us to feel the best at what we do.
Absolutely.
And if you go on a job to your work not feeling that you're the best, you know, that you're not the best at what you do, what are you doing? What are you really even doing with your life? You're doing it for a paycheck. That ain't going to last.
It feels like in Act 3 you even address that on the album, too. Just people maybe not giving you the props that you know you deserve.
I mean, I don't really focus too much on what people saying. All I know, because that's going to take time away from me focusing on what's at hand, what's the plan, what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm in a race, but I ain't looking to the left or to the right of me. I'm looking at that finish line because once you start looking to the left, you start slowing down. Once you start looking to the right, you start slowing down. That ain't where I'm at with it.
Why don't you claim it, though, like how Hov used to be, like I'm the best, or Wayne, like I'm the best rapper alive?
I'm the best, no discussion. That's what I said on Halfway Off the Balcony. I'm claiming
it.
I'm a person of manifestation. I believe once what you put out into the universe, it come back to you. I believe in karma. I believe in all that. That's why I live righteous. You know what I'm saying? That's why it ain't no front for me. I am a real good dude, and I am humble. You know what I'm saying? That's how I was raised, though. I can't change that. You know, I grew up with my grandma, with my mom. They was the, you know, they was the women and the men in the house. You know what I'm saying? That's even while I'm blessings, it's like my grandma just died. I'm the man of the house. That's because she was the man of the house, mm-hmm. too. So it's just like, I can't change the way I was raised. But at the same time, like, I put that work in. Like, you're not going to disrespect me. I hop on any track with anybody, and I will not only stand my own. You're going to know that it's my verse, and you're going to know I'm in it.
Except for Control. Kendrick watched you on Control.
No, stop it.
Sean, come on now. Come on now.
But now, hold on. Let's talk about your song with Eminem, because that's been controversial. And, of course, a lot of people consider Eminem to be...
How long ago is that? What year is this?
That were you right? You got... You're right.
But you do have Eminem on the album.
And I still don't feel like I got watched anyway.
Nah, you got washed on Control.
Whatever.
It's okay.
Your opinion. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't focus on people's opinions. You know why? Because that's going to throw you off. You got to focus on what's at hand, what you feel in your
Control
heart.
Control was a different type of verse, though. That was a otherworldly type of verse.
I'm not taking nothing away from that. That's why, you know what I'm saying? It was my song. I ain't altered nothing.
That was your song?
I kept it G.
Yeah, it was his song.
I can't say I've
been seeing you showing love to the album, though. Voices in the head.
Isn't Sean?
Bounce Back. You was one of the people campaigning for Bounce Back, absolutely. Saying, like, it need to be played more on the radio. And you were one of the reasons that, you know, just one of them people showing love. I appreciate it.
You dope, bro. I give props what props to do.
All right, we got more with Big Sean when we come back. Matter of fact, let's get to a Big Sean mini mix. That was a Big Sean mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got Big Sean in the building, Yee.
Mm-hmm. How intimidating is that to be on a song with Eminem? I mean, you guys are both from Detroit, mm-hmm. and obviously Eminem is, you know, the GOAT. A lot of people consider him to be one of the GOATs, at least.
Period.
And the song was also pretty controversial now after the album came out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on people being upset about what Eminem said on the album?
It's a petition going around. They want you and Eminem arrested.
Straight up?
Yeah, for rapey lyrics towards Ann Coulter.
So that's listen, yeah, this is true. There was a petition going around.
You said that's his verse. Did you think anything, though, when you heard it, like...
Did you think
that it would be an issue at all, or did you not think anybody would...
I feel like rap music, you know... Well, first of all, we're talking about Eminem.
Right.
He says worse.
Yeah, come on now. And on top of that, I wasn't thinking about when I got the verse back. I was just thinking like it was refreshing to hear him. Like I feel like he brought a whole new style to his catalog, to the rap game, just like how he was describing all that stuff. And I just feel like I sent it, so you can imagine what it's like when you send a 16-bar verse. Like originally the song was 2 12-bar verses for me, and I left a 16 at the end for him. So you can imagine, you know, being from the D, you know, first of all, I called him and I didn't know if he was gonna be able to do it. You know, he was like, "Man, I really love the song, but you know, I'm my schedule is crazy. I don't know if I can get to it in time." So I thought he was letting me down easy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine what it feel like to wake up like a couple weeks later, Paul Rosenberg texting you, you heard the verse. You go down to the studio and you hear like a 2 minute like mm-hmm. bar off.
Mm.
I'm a fan of the lyrics. I'm a fan of Eminem. I'm a fan of Slim Shady, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I felt like I was listening to when I heard that verse. So
did you change any of your verses after you heard him?
The only thing that I did change, though, is that when we were listening to it, it didn't make sense that I had these super two short verses and then it was his 2 minute verse.
Mm-hmm.
So all I did was I put my verses together, but the only thing I had to add like 4 more bars because it wasn't sounding right when I just pasted them together like that.
Do you ever change a verse when you send somebody a record?
Hold up. I ain't gonna lie. One thing about that verse I did change is I said the thing about Flint. Mm-hmm. I do this for the crib, the D to Flint. Kids will get sick with lead. Others get hit with the lead. Because once the song was like pretty much done and getting mixed, I realized that what that song may be. And I was like, man, I got to rep for, like, the kids in Flint. I got to rep mm-hmm. for the hometown, like, show them that inspiration in a different way. And I got the Flint choir on bigger than me, the Flint mm-hmm. Chosen Choir.
Right.
But, you know, I just got to let them know we care for the whole. It's not just the D. It's, like, the whole Michigan.
Why did you think when you was performing the other night when the guy was throwing money, why did you think that was disrespectful?
I'm so glad you brought this up. I seen ghetto ass, you know, videos or whoever posting saying, "Oh, Big Sean mad that this dude in the back of the club is throwing money." I don't care about, you know, that's cool. I you can throw money if you want to do it. There was a person in the video. The video is so set up, it looks crazy. There was a whole nother person that was not in that video on the side of the stage. It was just this old white dude, and it's not a race thing at all. I don't care what color he was, but it was this old dude, and he was on the very side of the stage close to me, and he kept throwing money, right? Kept throwing money, like his fans in the front getting hyped, like, damn, this money landing on me. You know what I'm saying? It was distracting to me, and then it started coming on the stage, so I'm performing and damn near slipping on the money. So I'm just like, yo, I'm not no damn stripper, bro. Like, you're not finna be throwing money on the stage when I'm performing. That's disrespect.
People,
you know,
throw money at Envy when he DJs.
Every once in a while.
Nah, people may throw money up, you know what I'm saying? But they was throwing money at me and at people that was right in front of the stage. So I said first, I was like, hey, bro, stop throwing money. Like, that's a video y'all didn't see. Mm-hmm. Hey, bro, stop throwing money. Like, you know what I mean? This ain't that type of show right now. Okay. Then he started throwing more money.
Wow.
So I'm like, damn, like, I ain't know what he was on. Like I said, I ain't know if it was like a race thing. I ain't know if he was disrespecting. It felt very disrespectful to me. It felt very disrespectful. So that's what I don't be going off, and I don't be trying to put on no show or nothing like that. But it was just like, we told him a few times, my DJ told him, like, while I was performing, hey, man, stop throwing money. So it was just like, that's why I went off, because you're not finna disrespect me. You're not finna disrespect my fans. You're not finna disrespect my show.
So after you cursed him out, did he stop?
Yeah, he stopped.
Okay.
Well, Sean got to go, guys.
Well, I just want one more question. How do you think if people do start saying Big Sean is the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that'll affect your music?
I know it's people plotting on my spot, man. I ain't finna let them get that.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here. I'm thankful to be here. I know what I got. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep making the family proud, the city proud, and keep spitting something that means something.
You ever think you ever date a woman with your skin color ever again?
Yeah.
There you have it. Big Sean, the physical copies on the 17th. Now, I'm not going to lie, Big Sean changed on us a little bit.
Y'all still got love for me?
Do you still have love for black women? Is what the people.
Janae Aiko is black, by the way. That's
it's
like saying
Sean.
That I'm not black.
Yes, I have love for black women.
There you go, Sean.
Get your ass out of here. My mama black. My grandma black. Nigga, I dated black girls. I love black
girls.
Why
they gotta be
girls? I date black girls. Women. Strong women.
Leave Big Sean alone. Big Sean.
What about you?
Out right now.
I'm married to a black woman.
All right, congratulations.
We don't know. We haven't seen her picture. She might be white.
Yeah, where's she at?
Oh, shut up. Yeah, right.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, let's get to the rumors. Now, where did you learn how to eat the box? Well, let's find out where Anthony Anderson did.
What? Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Anthony Anderson was on Conan, and he was talking about how he learned to perform oral sex on a woman. It was during a time that he was in college, and he and his friends actually came home, and here's what his mother did.
My mother taught me how to go downtown. I was in my early 20s. I had just come home from college. Not only me, but my buddies and their girlfriends. And she not only taught me and my brothers and my boys, but also the women how to do what they needed to do. Now, my mother has a very extensive video collection, and she would put the videos on.
Uh-huh.
And go into graphic detail as to what was happening on the video and what either me and my brothers or the young ladies should be doing.
That's what? Awkward.
Hey, parents, you go to jail for stuff like that now.
Absolutely.
You can't be sitting around
having...
Well,
he was in his 20s in college.
All right, so that was about the 70s. Listen, you go to jail for that kind of stuff now. You sit around telling your kids how to eat the box.
Well, not if the kids are in their 20s. You can't go to jail for that.
First of all, I'm about to say something that's not true.
What?
I'm about to say, damn, Anthony Anderson didn't know how to eat Poom Poom in his 20s, but neither did I. I had to read a book called The Ultimate Kiss.
Right. A lot of people are even older than that and still don't know what they're
doing. Yeah, a lot of people still don't know how to eat.
How mama know your jaw game trash, though? I guess she just was just letting them know just in case.
Just in case.
I want to know what these videos were. What were these videos?
Now, I don't know.
At the time, Anthony Anderson was fat as hell, too, though. So his mom probably was just preparing him. Look, when you start having sex, son, because you're fat now.
You got to keep him. So you got to do it right.
So when you start having sex, you fat, so you're going to have to learn how to really
eat. And you know
what's
interesting? Yesterday, I told you Rick Ross had this ladies' appreciation dinner, and he also did lip service, and he said he really doesn't do that either.
Oh, he doesn't eat the box?
Yeah.
Why people be lying? What's the point of lying nowadays about that?
I was thinking maybe his beard gets in the way. It might be like for practical purposes. I don't know. Do you guys teach your kids?
No.
My daughter's 8. casually. And mother daughter.
I have a 13 and a 15 year old.
Do you think about that in the future?
No, I don't think about that. No.
In the future? No.
Absolutely not.
So what age do you start talking to them?
I mean, I had a conversation about sex, but not the conversation about, well, this is how you eat the box. We just had a general conversation about sex and STDs and all that.
Not having any conversations about sex with my daughter.
Ever?
That's her mama's job.
Yeah, well, her mom did. Their mom did.
Yeah.
So you didn't talk to your daughters about it, but...
Now, when I had
the conversation. I walked in the room. I heard what they were talking about. I'd be like, I'll be back.
When I have my son, I'm going to definitely teach him some of his old dad's tricks.
But now, what if she asks you?
I got to teach my son about the inception.
What if the girls ask you? Daddy, go talk to your mama.
Go talk to your mama. If she asks me what?
Like, just about sex. Like, daddy can...
Go talk to your mama. Ask her what sex is.
My wife told them everything. She showed them pictures. She showed them about STDs. She took care of that. Like I said, I walked in and I was like, I said, what y'all talking about? I said, okay, I'm walking right back up.
Yeah, when I have my son, I'm going to definitely teach him about that inception move.
What if you walk in and he's like, your dad is
when you
trash.
Hit a girl from Make the sure. back and you put water in the sink and you just dunk her head in the water as you're hitting it from the back.
You're going to teach your son about killing a girl. You're going to put her head in the sink and damn man drown her.
That's not killing her. That's pleasure.
For who? All right, now let's
your box
discuss
trashy.
Robin
People don't do
Thicke.
Stuff like that to you.
Don't worry, you'll never know. Let's talk about Robin Thicke. He went
you guys
to court
are so petty this
lawyers
morning.
On Wednesday.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, trust. And actually, he's been
you telling me
this yeah. week with his 6-year-old. Well, you're talking about it so much. I'm telling you, it's nothing for
oh,
you to ever
Oh, using her
be
feelings. Okay,
about.
All right, okay.
You know, trust you, and
okay.
believe.
Okay.
Tell
okay.
her you tell all right, okay. trust.
Because okay. I've heard about you. But anyway.
Okay. She's in her feelings.
6-year-old
okay.
Julian. And apparently he gets Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for a few hours each day, but he has to have a court-appointed monitor present. So they're saying that he was upset he didn't get to visit his son. He was actually trying to not have a court-ordered monitor present, but the lawyers are saying that he cannot see his kid without a monitor, and he also cannot get a different monitor who could be more impartial. The judge said no to that. Robin also asked to prohibit the monitor from changing or canceling the scheduled visits, and the judge told him no to that also.
That's bull crap. I wouldn't want to have to see... I want to see my child, and they got to be a court-appointed person there every time.
It makes you feel bad, but you got to take it how you can when you're in that situation, right? You still want to see your child.
Right.
You don't want to just say F your child altogether. I'm not going to show up and see them.
I take him on a roller coaster. This lady's behind me on a roller coaster.
You got to do what you got to do.
Why a roller coaster?
Because they said they wanted to go to the amusement park.
Oh.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes! Donkey of the Day for Thursday, February 9th goes to John Michael Haskew of Florida. Just when we needed more proof that people from Florida are absolutely insane, John comes through, okay? See, John has been arrested for allegedly making fraudulent wire transfers. Now, salute to all the scammers out there. You are all about to feel really bad. Because while you out here in these streets taking penitentiary chances for hundreds of dollars, thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, maybe six figures if you're a high-level scammer, this man, John Haskew, according to the Huffington Post, is accused of making $7 billion in fraudulent wire transfers. $7 billion. Not million, billion.
Wow.
Illion with a B. Okay? Drop one of Clues bombs for John Haskew, damn it. Okay? If you're going to scam, scam bigly. Because if you get away with it, you win. If you get caught, well, at least you go to prison knowing you gave it your all. Now, people have all types of reasons for why they commit crimes. None of them usually make sense. None of them ever really justify why a person did what they did. But the one John Haskew has is downright blasphemy. See, John Haskew told the court the reason he stole the money was because Jesus wanted him to be wealthy. See, this is what happens when you read the book God Wants You to Be Rich by Paul Pilser, and you have no context to it. An interesting book that explains why God wants each of us to maximize our economic potential, but I'm pretty sure God wants us to get this money the right way, okay? Not through fraudulent wire transfers. Now, police arrested John after he allegedly set up wire transfers back in December from a large, nationally renowned financial institution. That's where he was getting the money from. And he was unemployed, and he said he needed to pay off a debt to the federal government. His scheme was to provide a bank routing number that wasn't his, okay? Haskew used that routing number to make more than 70 transactions worth more than $7 billion with a B. Dollars. Okay, according to the complaint, John told agents he was self-taught on the banking industry, including how to make wire transfers. Now, Back to why John Haskew is getting donkey today. John allegedly told investigators that he believed he deserved the money, stating that Jesus Christ created wealth for everyone. He believed his wire transfer scheme would allow him to obtain the wealth that Jesus Christ created for him and that belonged to him. Somebody hand John Haskew a Bible and tell him to turn to Proverbs 13:11, where it says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. That's basically saying it's better to make money slowly the right way than to get it fast the wrong way. It's a much longer process, but the karma you create from that slow, righteous grind is better than the penitentiary chances you take trying to get that fast money in these streets, okay? Or you can turn to Psalm 37:16-17. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous. Meaning to me that it's better to make a little bit of money the right way than make a lot of money the wrong way. I'm no expert in scripture. I'm sure someone out there is telling me I'm taking these scriptures out of context, but I do know one scripture you can't take out of context, and that's Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. John Haskew, do you hear me? You can't serve both God and money. If you was truly serving God, you wouldn't think about doing no damn fraudulent wire transfer, okay? One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not steal. So please tell thou how Jesus told you to steal, sir. Okay, that's not the Jesus I know. John Haskew, listen, I know it's hard to comprehend scripture sometimes when you hear those voices in your head and you think it's God, but you have to remember God has a kingdom too. I mean, Satan has a kingdom too, okay? And when God allegedly told you to go and obtain the wealth that Jesus Christ created for you and that belonged for you, he didn't mean for you to do a fraudulent wire transfer. He meant for your unemployed ass to get up and go get a job, okay? Please give John Haskew the biggest hee-haw. I'm just saying, bro.
All right.
Them voices in your head ain't always God.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Now, up next is Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. You got a question for Ye. She'll help you with all your relationship problems, all right? Maybe you're stuck with your boo and you need something to do.
And Valentine's Day is coming up, so you might have some questions about that. People were asking me on Twitter and on the Help Me Ye at Gmail about advice for gifts. So we were doing that yesterday.
Okay. 800-585-1051. Call Ye now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, Landon, what's your question for you?
So I've been dating this girl, and she's a little bit younger. She's 25, I'm 30, and we work together. We've been trying to keep our relationship, you know, on the down low, and it's been tough. And, you know, she's thinking about leaving. I'm trying to stay.
Is there rules against dating at work?
It's just she's kind of strong about it right now because, you know, she feels like she doesn't want to be judged by the coworkers and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm trying to respect that. And I agree. You know, I just started there about like 5 months ago. And mm-hmm. She's been there for about a year.
Well, I would say this. First of all, when you guys are at work, it shouldn't be anything that you guys are doing outside of work that interferes with what you do there, right?
Right, yeah. When we're out of work, it's great. Everything's great.
So I don't understand why it should be an issue. When you guys are at work, it should be business as usual, professional. And then when you leave, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
That's true.
So
I think what's hard about it is that, like, you know, I've been getting a little bit more invested myself emotionally, and she's thinking about like trying to move and stuff, and you know, I just don't want it to be like a situation where I'm going through this and you know, I'm invested and she ups and leaves and then I'm kind of left with nothing, I guess.
So she wants to leave the job anyway. It's not really because of you.
Right.
Okay. I mean, listen, it sounds like it's just, you know, a relationship. Are you guys a couple or are you just messing around?
That's the thing. Like, we're together, like, and we've told some of our friends outside of work. But when it comes to work, like, we got to keep it secret. And so we can't, like, you know, be the way that we would normally be.
Well, you shouldn't be acting like that at work anyway.
Well, I'm not saying, like, you know, flirty and stuff. But, like, you know, even going to the extent of acting a little extra, like, non-friendly just to prove the point or just to make sure it's secret, which can be kind of hurtful sometimes, you know?
Okay, first of all, you got to remove your feelings when you're at work. At work, y'all shouldn't even be thinking about that, period.
Yeah.
So that's what the real issue is. Like, when you guys are at work, work is a professional environment. There shouldn't be any flirting on the job. There shouldn't be any acting differently to somebody because of what goes on outside of work. You got to remove your feelings from the situation when you're at work. And then when you guys leave there, you should be free to do as you please. I don't think that... I think it seems like the real issue is that you feel like you like her more than she likes you.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I think it's just harder for me to, like, hide my feelings than it is for her. Like, it's hard for me to be superficial and artificial, I guess you could say, with the way that I feel. Right. I like to just kind of...
Well, what do you want to do at work with her that you can't? You want to... What do you want to do at work?
Like, if I come over and, like, say hi, you know, like, more than just, like, a friend would, I don't want to feel like that.
You shouldn't be doing that at work.
I mean, I don't see it as, like, that big a deal just coming over and, like, you know.
Yeah, but if she sees that as a big deal in her workplace, and I think it also is different for women and how women are viewed.
Yeah, she said that, too.
It's definitely true. You're a man, and the double standard is y'all do what you want, no big deal. They're going to look at you, oh, yeah, you smashing at work. They're going to look at her like, you know she a hoe because she's messing with such and such at work. That's why it's different. So it's probably something you don't understand. But if you want to be with her, you have to respect how she wants you to behave in the workplace.
That's true. Relationship is about to go to the next level, that he should be able to watch me get my weave taken out and put in. He's white, so he's never seen it before.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I don't know if I want him to see me like that.
Oh, boy.
He's going to end up seeing that one day, boo.
Well, not really. Not if I take it out at the salon and put it back right back in there.
What is his fascination with wanting to see that, though? He wants to see what you look like without all your weave?
Well, he has seen me without it. He just hasn't seen the process. Like, he wants to see the braids and all of that.
Why do you want to see that?
You might got to think of that slave look.
No.
Braids are not a slave look.
I doubt it. I think he's just really curious. I'm the first black girl he's ever been with, so.
Oh, it's like a, see, white.
It's an anthropology project. Project.
Oh. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, if you're not comfortable with it, you don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. But if this is a man that you plan to marry,
yes,
there shouldn't be any hiding something like that.
All right. Well, I guess this will be
it. I'm sure you still look good with your braids in and all of that.
Thank you.
You know, but if anything, you could tell him you'll send him some pictures.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe
during the process. Let's start with that.
Right.
Trust me, he'll sit there for a little while and he's going to get bored.
Yeah, I definitely think he would.
It's not
anyway.
An exciting process, and it's a very long process.
Exactly. Yeah, he always wonders, like, how long does that take? Like, why are you gone 3 and 4 hours?
What? Damn, that's all it takes? That should take me way longer than that.
Why are white people
really
fascinated with black women's hair?
Yeah.
Is there anything that about him that you want to see?
No, I mean, he's, you know, just your average, I guess, average...
Is he really good at oral sex? Are the rumors true?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Better than Yes, better than any.
That's because you got
guy.
A little pee-pee.
You're gonna say better
is
than
that
any
rumor true?
Better than any black guy you ever had?
Oh yeah, by far. But they're really stingy with it. But he just wants to do it. He likes to do it. That's like the first thing he does.
Because he got a little meat.
No,
why are you being a hater? Sound like a hater?
If we talking about stereotypes,
he's not the biggest, but he definitely has a good size. I wouldn't even consider marrying him if he did it.
Okay, well, good. And then next time when you're going down on him, maybe he could pull your weave out and then see what it
looks
like.
There you go.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, have fun with that.
Thank you.
All right, ask Yee 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call at any time. Now, Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about Charles Oakley. What happened at that Knicks game? We'll tell you his side of the story.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
First things first, face. Listen, you don't got to sing background for every beige artist we play on the radio, okay? Let Chris Brown and Drake have their moments, all right? They don't jump in here when you be DJing and try to get on your turntables, do they?
Well, Drake might.
Let me ask you a question. Hmm? Has any one of them ever come up behind you while you were DJing?
Hmm? What?
No, what's wrong
and
with you?
And grabbed your turntables while you was playing Yo, on the turntables?
What's wrong with y'all?
Who's y'all?
Him. What's wrong with you? Not you, but you. All right, anyway, let's get to the rumors.
Not you, but you, what?
She just answered me. Anyway, let's get to the rumors. We're talking Jim Jones.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Rumor has it.
On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, we were talking yesterday about Jim Jones doing his deal with Roc Nation. And he did an interview with TMZ and he talked about what made him decide to do this deal.
But whatever happens, happens. I'm here to make the best Jim Jones effort I can, and they're willing to push me to the moon. They give me a platform that I haven't had in my whole career. My whole career I've done independently, if you know anything about my music. So for me to take this major step is a blessing.
I wonder what else is Jim going to do, like other than music. Jim has a lot of gifts. Remember when Jim used to direct videos?
Yep.
Jim used to direct some
dope
videos.
And he has a clothing
videos.
Line. We just saw him at Agenda.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they already switched up the clothing line a little bit. I seen the Vamp had the V mm-hmm. with the Roc Nation logo and then the MP mm-hmm. with the hats and stuff.
Yeah,
he working. Jim works fast.
He's doing a lot of different things.
And it's still music. I think Jim's doing one more album.
Mm. Right. So they're managing him.
Right.
And his brand and everything. And congratulations to Tinashe, since we're talking about clothes. She is now the face of Juicy Couture Urban Outfitters. That's going to be launching February 13th.
Tinashe!
Yes, I'm actually hosting a Tinashe performance tonight, too. Here at the iHeart Theater, so.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
You think
Juicy
so?
Couture.
They said it is.
Oh, with this nasty weather?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be you and Tinashe.
It's supposed to stop snowing at 1.
Okay.
That's what they said, but now they're saying all day.
Oh, well, listen.
It look crazy outside.
I'll stay home.
It look crazy.
Not a problem. But I look forward to that, though, young Tinashe. All right, now let's discuss Waka Flocka. He has released a new song, and it's called Was My Dog. We played a clip for you yesterday about him talking about Gucci Mane and saying they'll never do music together again. And he doesn't say Gucci's name in this song, but people are saying that's who he's talking about. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm talking about Flocka, sucker ass. I thought you were my motherfucking partner. Flocka, duck ass. Thought you were my nigga, shouted, thought you were my dog. Thought you were my nigga, shouted, thought you were my dog. You all for yourself, shouted, you a bum.
Why do people think that's about Gucci, though?
Well, he said, was my dog, and then he just recently did an interview talking about Gucci and saying that they'll never be cool again and work together again. So
everybody's
speculating that's what that song is about. And he said, always yelling Brick Squad, you always talking fam first. When your ass got locked up, you turned on the fam first. You don't think that's about Gucci?
I'm sure it's a lot of other members of Brick Squad, and I'm sure it's a lot of other members of Brick Squad who've been arrested. I just don't think, I don't understand why Waka would just all of a sudden come out with a song dissing Gucci Mane.
Like,
so you don't think, from everything we just said, and then when he said, did he shoot a video in East Atlanta since Gucci been out, did he shoot a video? I'm exposing these
guys. Let's play yesterday's clip. This is yesterday's clip.
So fans want to know, like, Waka, when you and Gucci making this CD, it ain't never happening. Like, that Brick Squad was, it was history. Like, I enjoyed it. I loved it. It made me who I was today. It made him who he was today. But enough is enough, man. Like, the internet... not the streets. If you want to play tough and act like you macho and you the big dog, you this, that, and the third, cool. Like, but the streets gonna wipe your nose every time. Hey, since Gucci been out, they shoot a video in East Atlanta.
Yeah,
I'm exposing these folks, man. I ain't no hate. I'm just exposing.
And plus, Flocka's never one to mince words. So I think if that was a diss record to Gucci, he'd have said Gucci's
so
name.
So you think that he's talking about somebody else in Brick Squad that just got locked up?
Yes, could be. Okay. It's possible.
All right, if that's what you think.
A lot of those guys, we don't see around each other no more. Who the Kid. What's the other homie name with the dreads? Frenchie.
Okay.
Ain't seen him in around a minute.
All right, I'm sure you're right. Now let's talk about Charles Oakley.
That was sarcastic.
Yeah.
My bad.
So Charles Oakley, we talked about this earlier. He got kicked out of the Knicks game and got arrested.
So disrespectful.
Right. So now we got to hear what his side of the story
is.
Oh,
damn. There's all...
You saw the video footage?
There's another video. You seen this video? Okay, you talk. You explain it.
Of Charles Oakley getting kicked out.
Oh, I did when they had him on the ground?
Yeah.
You seen that?
If you have Revolt TV, you can see all this video footage of him arguing. He hasn't even been there that long. He bought his own ticket, right? There's a lot of pushing and shoving. Look, he's pushing. If you have Revolt, you can really see.
They got him by the collar.
He's a big guy.
They dragged him out.
Damn.
And they took him down to the police station. They charged him with 3 counts of assault and criminal trespassing. Look, there he is on the floor.
New York, the Madison Square Garden, the Knicks organization treats their veterans worse than America treats their veterans, bro.
All right, now, Charles Oakley told the New York Daily News, I was there for 4 minutes. He said, I didn't say anything to him. I swear on my mother, they came over and wanted to know why I was sitting there. I bought the ticket. I said, why do you guys keep staring at me? Then they asked me to leave. And I said, I'm not leaving. I want to sit down to talk to him. I want me and him in a room and lock the door. Lock that door. I mean, he can have the police outside the door.
You can't lock the door after I done seen you mush another white man in the face with your finger. You're not going to be in here with me alone.
Now... According to the Knicks organization, their PR released a statement. Charles Oakley came to the game tonight and behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He has been ejected and is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. He was a great Knick, and we hope he gets some help soon. So people were going in on Twitter on the Knicks. Now, one person said, when Charles Oakley played with a broken cheekbone, how come the Knicks didn't stop him and say, you need to get help? All right, and what happened to the people that were playing? Because the Knicks were playing the Clippers. Blake Griffin said, I stopped, and then there was an inbounds play on the side. I turned around just in time as he was handing it to him, and then there was a foul. I walked back to catch the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. Now, Carmelo said that was sad. That was Carmelo said that he didn't see anything. He was on the opposite side of the court. He didn't see it. And the coach for the Clippers, Doc Rivers, said that was sad. That was tough for me to watch. Honest to God, you could see it. I actually took 3 steps, and I swear I was going to run down there, and I thought, what the hell am I going to do? But I didn't like that. That's my guy. That was tough to watch from where I was standing. He's the best teammate in the world.
Why would you ever want to play for the Knicks organization after seeing how they treat their veterans? That man played for the Knicks for 10 years, was responsible for, was one of the key components of a great Knicks team.
Absolutely.
And you kick him out of the garden like that?
I seen him last week. It looks so disrespectful.
Listen, I ain't seen Ron Artest get dragged out like that, and Ron Artest was beating fans up and beating players up and all kind of stuff. They didn't drag him out of the palace like that. Like, that was disrespectful. Totally disrespectful.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I wonder, was Charles Oakley by himself? He just went to the game by himself? Dolo? Nobody was there to help him?
Why you got to be with somebody?
I'm just saying, you go to the game, you usually go with somebody. I'm just going to go by the game.
Well, Anthony Mason's dead, sir. His partner's not around anymore. Okay, that's probably
who he has more than one.
And if Big Mace would have been there, it'd have been some problems.
Now, if Anthony Mason would have been there, it would have been worse.
Have you ever seen Anthony Mason in real life?
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ, that man looked like he in 3D. I'm telling you,
it'd have been 10 times worse.
Anthony Mason was huge, okay?
Goodness gracious. Well, shout out to our friends at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next.